This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Well, I'm really excited because what God's just shared through Belade and Chris is very much in line with what I want to share. And also Paul's choices of songs as well, that kind of theme of restoration is very much my theme. So I've entitled this, Jesus is the Reason. And at Christmas, I know that you might hear that expression or see it in a card, that Jesus is the reason for the season. And this is very true, he is. We wouldn't be able to celebrate Christmas if Christ hadn't come to earth. But today I want to talk about the fact that he is just simply the reason. He's the reason for so many things, and I've chosen to just focus on a few of them. So the first one is that Jesus is the reason we are justified. Galatians 2 verse 16 says, "We have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ." I'm going to read that again. "We have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ." So we are all justified through the gift of faith in Christ Jesus, but this has consequences for us. To be justified means to be declared or made righteous in the sight of God, to be accounted for, defended, upheld, sustained, established, and confirmed. We get all of that through faith in Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians reminds us that even our faith is a gift from God and not something that we can accomplish on our own. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not something from yourselves. It is the gift of God." So even the route that leads to our justification is because of Christ. But this first verse that I referenced from Galatians just really struck me afresh within the last year or so. Because throughout my teens and 20s as well, I've often been concerned about the opinion of others and been quite self-conscious. But this verse just made me realise that if Jesus Christ has justified me, which means to be accounted for, defend, upheld, sustained, established, confirmed, then the opinion of others really is irrelevant. And this has continued to be a verse that I've come back to, a verse of truth and strength. The second reason is that Jesus is the reason we can know freshness and transformation in our lives. Philippians 4 verse 13, quite a popular one. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." By the end of last year, I had subconsciously started to limit myself. So I wasn't even really aware that I was doing it, but I was limiting myself, and also I'd lost quite a lot of confidence, but hadn't really realised. So I'd got into the habit of saying things like, "Oh, I can't," or "I won't," or "No, I don't think I could," and would dismiss and shy away from opportunities, believing I wasn't capable for whatever it might be. I was still happy, but I just lost sight of what is possible with Jesus. And then over Christmas and the new year, Jesus did begin a new work in me and opened my eyes to see how I'd been thinking and living. And he instilled in me a freshness and an excitement and reminded me of what is possible. And he raised my expectations and gave me a fresh desire to learn and achieve more and to not settle. He brought freedom. And consequently, 2016 has genuinely been excellent so far. I've had opportunities to grasp and have instigated new things that I would have previously completely dismissed. I'm healthier and fitter than I have been in a long time. And I know that this can... health and fitness can be achieved naturally by anybody, but for me it is a real achievement. It's the grace of God, and I know it's an achievement that God's done in me, and it's something that I know it's by his grace, because I wouldn't have thought about that it was a possibility last year. I've also chosen to step outside of my usual comfort zone by leading worship earlier in the year at Limbrick Word, and today by preaching. These are things that may seem small to others, but they really are an expression of the work Jesus has done in me, because they aren't things that I would have done this time last year. It's also true for my working life as well. I've had so many opportunities at work to grow and learn and progress, and it's all by his grace. Ultimately, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I have to choose to either take that verse seriously or not, because there's not a third option. My third reason is the one that I'm going to focus on the most. And it is, Jesus is the reason we can get to the other side of the valley. He is the reason for restoration and hope. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 23. And it begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And it's crucial for us to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. He is Lord because he bought us at a price, and we've been ransomed, we're paid for. And we owe it all to Jesus, our King, because he laid his life down for us. He defeated death, he rose with all power, and is now seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we are redeemed, he is sovereign, and we surrender all to him because he is Lord. And it's just crucial that we start by acknowledging that. Like I said before, I really love this psalm, but Jesus has shown me quite a lot about verse 4. Which says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And what I really love about that is that David chose to use the image of a valley. And he could have chosen a field or a desert, but he chose valley. And I believe that's significant, because on a practical level, no valley can last forever, because no matter what, geographically, a valley always eventually does reach the ocean, because no piece of land is endless. And it's the same with the trials that we face. They are temporary, and they may have lasted for years, but the truth is that our hardships always have an end date attached to them. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, and Jesus has just shown me that you have to choose to keep walking through. And I actually remember ages ago speaking to Charlotte about this verse, literally years ago. And she'd been watching a preach about it. And they said, whoever they were, said, you walk through it, you don't camp there. And that's just really stuck with me, because it's true. Because we're the children of God. And if Jesus, our Lord and Shepherd, is with us, then we have nothing to fear. So we don't sit down, and we don't drag our feet, and we certainly don't crawl our way through. We walk through the valley with our head held high, hand in hand with Jesus. And this isn't an act of pride, because it is all by his grace and strength. Jesus leads us through the valleys, and he strengthens us to keep going. We are never alone in our valley experiences, because Jesus walks through them with us. He is our strength and presence in our difficulties. And Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Only Jesus can give someone hope that stays firm when all around is falling away. His hope keeps us balanced, focused and secure in where we are going. We can fuel our hope by reading and believing the promises in the Bible. Jesus will lead you out of the valley. As I said before, valleys are always temporary. When this happens, we all have the choice to leave the valley behind us. And this is what I feel like Ballade's word earlier is in line with. Because we have the choice to leave a valley behind us. The valley will always be a process that Jesus can and will bring good from, but it doesn't define us. When you come out of a valley, then it is time to embrace and enjoy the blessing God has brought you into, and not to remain a victim to the past. For example, Lottie Dean has been on crutches for 7 months, she was telling me earlier. And we've obviously all seen her kind of hopping around. And this week I saw on Facebook that Sarah had posted that she's finally off them, which is amazing. And we would all be wrong to now say to Sarah and Simon, well, she might as well just stay on them because she's so used to them and they're an aid to her. So why don't you just keep them? Obviously, that would be wrong of us because she's now fit and able to walk and she's come away from that illness. It's just the same to hold on and remain in the past that Jesus has delivered you from. Just as we should now encourage Lottie to skip and dance, we should encourage friends that come out of a valley to enjoy the freedom and the light, the new perspective and peace, and to move on. As Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This doesn't mean that we dismiss what we've been through, but we choose to move into the blessing that he has for us. Jesus not only brings us through our struggles, but brings restoration from them and uses them for our good. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, "The Lord has anointed me to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus transforms us and then urges us to move on, to forget the former things and to embrace the new life he has given us. He's the reason that we're made new, redeemed and set free from our past. As well, something about the fact he said beauty instead of ashes. He could have written beauty for ugliness or beauty for defeat or even beauty for death. But it says beauty for ashes. Ashes really is the end. It's the description of a post-death state. But even in that bleakness and that mourning, Jesus can bring beauty. He exchanges the ashes for beauty and changes the seemingly impossible situations. He brings hope. And some of you are aware that over the last 10 years, I've had some ongoing issues with my health. And this has been very much an ongoing valley for me. And there have been specific valley moments within that along the way. But Jesus has done such a transformation in my life. And medicine has been a huge display of Jesus's grace to me. But more than that, he has done a greater work in me. And over the past 5 years especially, my health really has gone from strength to strength. And I'm better now than I have been in the whole process. And he really has brought a calm and a peace and an ease to my thinking and a joy and confidence to my being. And earlier in this week, I had an appointment with my doctor, which was just a formality, just to make sure my medication and general health was all okay. And so the night before that appointment, I was just talking and praying with Tom about it because I find those appointments quite hard because it's like a reminder of how unwell I was, which I'm now really detached from because I'm so well. So we prayed about that. And then on Tuesday morning, I hadn't actually seen this doctor for roughly 3 years. And as I sat down and explained why I'd come to see her, she just said, "Well, can I first of all tell you how fantastic you look?" And I don't say that to make myself look good, but because she'd clearly remembered me from a few years ago when I wasn't doing as well and could see how much better I am now and could see my progress and was clearly genuinely thrilled for me. The rest of the appointment was such an encouragement and I left just feeling quite overwhelmed at God's goodness towards me and reminded of how far he's brought me even in the last few years. Also on two separate occasions this year, we as a church have been reminded of how David kept Goliath's head as testimony of what God had enabled him to do. And for me, my health is my Goliath's head because I can see victory in it and I can see the work God has done. Jesus has taken a really hard situation and brought beauty out of it. I know that this is not the end, and he will carry this work on to completion. I'm also confident that the restoration and blessing I've received is not just for me, but will be used to bring freedom and restoration to others in my future. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Jesus removes us from our past. He cuts us off from it. He is the God of second chances, fresh starts and new beginnings. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.